Take your Bible and turn with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Before we actually get into the study this morning, let me say a few things to those of you who might be joining us for the first time. The Bible Says is a program whose format is geared toward a clear exposition of the Word of God, clear explanation. I want you to know what the Bible says. A lot of people can tell you what their mama said, or what their daddy said, or their grandparents, but, you know, what does the Bible say is a question that leaves them kind of slack-jawed, and they don't know. You need to know what the Bible says. Now, what you do with it is between you and God, but we do want you to know, or at least to the best of our ability, want you to see what the Bible has to say. Now, one further item to deal with. Over the last 4 years of this broadcast, we have been going verse by verse through various books in the New Testament, and there are 9 we have not finished. And this, when we finish 1 Peter, we'll make it 8. If you have an interest in these Bible studies and you would like to have, as it were, some back issues, if you would like to have a CD or cassette, copies of these studies that we've already looked at, by all means, feel free to contact me through the radio station and be delighted to make these available to you at cost, plus shipping. We'll need your name, we'll need your address, need some money. But that, I guess that shouldn't surprise anybody, should it? Okay, at any rate, you'll find this. If you enjoy these broadcasts, if they are beneficial to you, you may know somebody who is outside the area that would be covered by these broadcasts, and you might want to make a gift of a set of some of these studies to your friends that you feel might be benefited by them. Or for that matter, perhaps you have a loved one in the service overseas, perhaps stationed in Afghanistan or Iraq, someplace like that, and I think it'd be a wonderful thing, get the Word of God to them so that they can study on their own, got spare time, nothing to do. You might get a little creative and figure out where you could send these, where people might benefit from them. I know it might not be something that people would enjoy talking about, but you may know somebody who happens to be incarcerated, somebody who's in prison, and If it's possible, you know, these studies could be given to them inside the prison. And, well, like I said, use your imagination, let the Lord lead you, and let's get these things into the hands of people that could benefit from them. Okay, enough chit-chat, let's get down to business. We left off in our last session with verse 20. Now, if you're looking at the scripture with me in verse 20, you will notice that verse 19 did not end with a period, nor did verse 20. As a matter of fact, we're in the middle of a big, long sentence. And so to get everything moving, let's go back to verse 17, because that's where this sentence begins. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, "And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, forasmuch as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Now let's go back. "Who verily was foreordained" is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Foreordained? Yeah, foreordained, like predestinated. It was something that God had set up in his counsels from eternity past, that this should happen. "Who verily," or truly, was, in other words, I'm saying, this is the truth. Jesus, truthfully now, was foreordained before the foundation of the world. You see, as I mentioned in our last session, it's not a matter that Jesus got caught up as a pawn or as a martyr, a revolutionary in some political snafu, but rather that he was ordained from the very beginning. Now, you will notice here, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe. You'll notice it keeps right going, keeps right on going between verse 20 and verse 21. Was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him, that is Jesus, up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now, if you go back through these verses, pull the parenthetical material aside, read for comprehension. Let's look here, for instance, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, and raised him up from the dead and gave him glory. You can drop all that out. Now don't throw it away. Just set it aside for a minute. If we go back, forasmuch, verse 18, forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now that's the direction the verse is moving. There's a linear movement here. Don't get sidetracked. Now, if we go back and insert that parenthetical material, we have this whole thing fleshed out. The bottom line, the objective, the end, the destination that he is moving toward here is this statement at the conclusion of verse 21, that your faith and hope might be in God, that is founded in God, settled, anchored in God, not a church, not your good works, not your baptism, not how much money you give to charitable causes, what part you take in civic projects. No, that your faith and hope might be in God. And let me point this out once again, as I have done several times. The word hope, when you see it here in the New Testament, is a very strong word that we don't use so much today. We have taken the word hope almost as a synonym for wishful thinking. Oh, I hope we have snow for Christmas. I hope you have a good day. But what we're saying is, I wish we have snow for Christmas, but we probably won't. I hope you have a good day, but you probably won't. It'll probably be miserable like everybody else. You see, these are things you don't say, but they're implied by the use of the word hope, the way we use it today. But in 1611, when you used the word hope, it was closer to what the Greek had to say, and that is a joyful and confident expectation. Now, if you keep that definition in mind, that your faith and expectation might be in God. Now, this sense of expectation, what do you expect from God? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Well, there's something you can expect because the Bible promises, because God promises it in his word. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's a promise. Therefore, you can expect him to honor it. The faith and expectation that you possess needs to be in God. And it is for that reason that God raised Jesus up from the dead and gave him glory. It is for that reason that he was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Before Adam and Eve ever messed up in the garden, before Adam brought sin and death down on the human race, Jesus was already foreordained to be the Savior, the sacrifice for sin, the perfect Lamb of sacrifice. You see, as the Passover was the time when the death angel would pass over Israel in Egypt, he said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over." Oh, so prophetic, don't you think? Because today it is not the blood of a lamb, a yearling lamb, a male without blemish, has been set aside for a couple of weeks, whose blood was caught when it was slaughtered, and with a sprig of hyssop applied to the doorposts and lintel. No, my friend, it was the blood of the Lamb of God. That blood was shed and caught not in a basin, but was slurped up by the earth at the base of the cross. But that blood was shed for you and me. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world, John tells us in 1 John chapter 2. You see, from before the foundation of the world, Jesus was going to die. He didn't come to be born in a manger, to be adored by the shepherds and worshiped by the wise men, to grow up and be a wise teacher. He came to be a sacrifice for sin. 600 years before his birth or more, Isaiah describes him. In Isaiah 52, he hath no form or comeliness. No, excuse me, that's in chapter 53, in verse 52. His visage was marred more than anyone, and there is no beauty in him that we should desire him, he says in chapter 53. He came to die for you and me, is what the Bible says. Now, why? That your faith and hope, your expectation might be in God. Not a man, not a church, not a religious system, not a tradition, but in God. Seeing now, verse 22 begins a new sentence, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Now back up here just a minute. Are we talking about a salvation by works or by grace? Well, Paul tells the Ephesians, I get my tongue tangled up here. Paul told the Ephesians in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, always, it's a rule of interpretation. When you have a passage that seems unclear to you, you always interpret that passage in the light of a clear passage. Interpret the obscure passage in the light of clear passages of Scripture. Jesus said the Scripture cannot be broken, and so it will always be consistent with the rest of Scripture. If you don't think it is, the problem lies with your understanding, not the Word of God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Well, I wish I could go on, but we can't because we're out of time. I hope you'll join me on our next broadcast as we continue our study in 1 Peter chapter 1. Join me then.